SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We're now listening to the best 2 hours in sports radio.
How are the two best hosts on Grid Radio?
Moneyline with Donnie Wrightside.
Mustache, glasses, and a bacon, egg, and cheese. You know what? I just keep moving.
But now, here.
Kevin Walsh.
No, it's not a bad take. You're in outer space
yeah,
right
for
now.
North. And the dream team of callers.
Right. I hope you guys checked the tape right. That was the 5-0 Vegas. Vegas.
Bring it.
Astros, Rangers, Astros over.
Smoke.
Check
all
the
smoke.
Tape.
Yep. Easy, too.
Well,
it's easy. It feels good.
It was. Wasn't it, man?
I listen to you guys also with all that great information you gave out on players props. So it's going to be a fun night tonight.
I just honestly became a huge Sports Grid fan and over the last year, and I found you in K-Dub show, man, and I have been addicted.
And let me give a shout out to my man JP holding it down behind the scenes.
There it is.
On the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius XM, channel 159.
And away we go on a Wednesday afternoon right here on the Sports Grid Network, Sirius XM channel 159. Donnie Wrightside here for a solo mission. Kevin will be back tomorrow. We got some business to do today. If you want to get through on the phone lines, they're always open. 844-843-6879. Once again, that's 844-843-6879. One Major League Baseball game is currently underway. The Atlanta Braves and the Minnesota Twins, bottom of the third inning. Runner on first base, nobody out. Braves with a 1-0 lead here. No surprise. We'll see if we might be able to factor in and, you know, maybe play a little live team total, live action side. You never know. We'll see what happens as we go throughout the day, but something to keep an eye on. Didn't love that game, to be honest with, up front. I thought there was much better options a little bit later in the day, like the Reds and the Orioles. I think they'll get jumping down in Camden Yards. They did it in the first game of the series, not so much yesterday, as I didn't think they'd score a lot of runs, and they didn't. Then coming back into today, I think there's a legitimate chance for some runs there. Philadelphia Phillies and the Chicago Cubs, I think there's a legitimate chance for some runs in that game also. The Dodgers and the Rockies a little bit later on tonight from Coors Field, about a 90-degree temperature night in Colorado. So some good stuff certainly to look forward to. But as always, some hot topics that come down the pike that you want to say, hey, it's kind of interesting here. All right, Adam Schefter, just a few moments ago before we went live on the air, released a handful of NFL players that were suspended, which include Colts cornerback and kick returner Isaiah Rodgers. It says, are expected to receive season-long suspensions this week for allegedly gambling, sources tell ESPN. And he also comes back there with a quote tweet that said, the players suspended for gambling the past two off seasons, at least 1 year. Calvin Ridley, C.J. Moore, Quintez Cephas, and Shaka Toney. 6-game suspensions for Jameson Williams and Stanley Berryhill. So again, here's what we need to do in the NFL. Just educate the players, tell them not to bet, not to open up new gambling accounts, and everything should go to form at this point. I don't think it's that big of an issue overall where players, particularly like a starting quarterback, are throwing football games to make an extra $500 or $1,000 on FanDuel, on DraftKings, or wherever they may be at this point. I don't think that's the case here. By the way, we do have some movement here in the bottom of the third inning. Runners on first and third, nobody out now. So Kenta Maeda, who's pitching on the mound here for the Minnesota Twins, in a little bit of trouble. Because why? That Braves lineup makes everybody get into trouble a time or two. Absolutely ridiculous, that lineup. Wagon. That's the name all you need to know for the Atlanta Braves. An absolute wagon as Ozzie Albies is at the plate right now. He's 0-for-1 for the day, but a legitimate chance to cash in here on an RBI prop if he certainly wants it. By the way, tonight, the NHL draft. Connor Bedard, going to be the number one overall pick going to the Chicago Blackhawks. We saw last week the NBA draft and a generational talent, at least we think, in Victor Wembanyama, who's actually going to go play for the San Antonio Spurs. And also today, let us know that he will be playing Summer League Baseball with the San Antonio Spurs. So how about that? Be able to watch him in a couple weeks, get it on live in an NBA uniform. But tonight, the draft, we actually had some good information this morning. If you guys checked out the early line,
you know, a couple of hockey guys, myself and Joe Ranieri. We had Brayton J. Wilson on today, who is a beat writer, you want to say, a news guy from the Buffalo area. Gave us some great information on who to look for in the draft tonight, the high risers, maybe some fallers in the draft, and also a look at what Connor Bedard actually is going to be as an NHL player, at least the possibility of him being a really talented player there. But however, talked about this too. We'll always keep it in Major League Baseball because we've got 15 games. We're going to get to those all. And I am fighting mad today. Why? First time in a long time, RBI props didn't work out for your boy. I had three RBI props, and then I also had a same-game parlay. Didn't work out in my favor. None of them. I had Bryson Stott of the Philadelphia Phillies last night to get an RBI. Thought the matchups were there. Matchup wasn't there. Bryson Stott did get a base hit, but that's all he did at that point. I mean, come on now. We needed something to happen there. Something. Nothing actually happened. And by the way, in that game, you know what actually happened? Where's my guy at here? Where's my guy Marsh? Where's he at here? Let me just say that. Yeah, I mean, Marsh really got after it yesterday. That was the guy that we were missing, right? Said, hey, we're going to attack from the left-hand side. Should have attacked last night with Marsh. Two home runs. Ugh! Oh, well, tonight, Drew Smiley's on the mound in the Windy City. I think there's a couple right-handed batters that might have a say in that game tonight. Let's hit that Major League Baseball card. Let's talk about all the hottest topics. This is what we do on Moneyline right here in the afternoon on The Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
SportsGrid Radio Network.
Getting after it, having some fun. It's what we do on a Wednesday afternoon right here on the Grid, Sirius XM channel 159. Phone lines are open, 844-843-6879. It's your boy down the right side here. Got you for the next 2 hours. Just trying to set the table as we can take a look here at some good action in Major League Baseball that's actually happening right now as well. Taking a look, a long fly ball there, which advances after a double to lead off the inning. So now we got something cooking for the Minnesota Twins in the top of the fourth inning. Still 2-0 now that the Atlanta Braves are up, but we have a runner on third and only one out. So maybe a legitimate chance here that some runs can come across the board starting here with the Minnesota Twins. Just trying to set the card up today for some reason. You know, checking out my Fangraphs account right now. Didn't have it loaded, so I am doing that right now so we could take a look and get after it and check out some of these pitchers that we might want to fade, follow, or just step out of the way at this point. Marking up here the last 30 days, as always here, with a minimum of 10 innings pitched. Looks like there's 27 pitchers on the card today that we're going to look at. Now, we did do a couple games here on the early line, as we always do, and it looks like Buxton is out at the plate. Don't quite know what happened there. Was it a ground out? Looks like they're celebrating. Was it a pickoff? We're going to see this in just a moment. But it looks like the Minnesota Twins here might be challenging the play. Oh, it was a ground out to the third baseman. Now, here's an interesting one. He clearly blocked the plate, but they typically don't call that anymore. But they've been calling it this season. Buxton was out by a mile. But, I mean, he technically did come over and block the plate. So the throw took him a little bit up the line, but he just sat in front of the plate. Like, for the letter of the law right now, now granted, they still called him out, and rightfully they should. I don't know what the call actually is anymore, to be honest with you. I really don't. As a pass ball happens, and now a runner's on second base with two outs. We'll see if you can get a base knock here from Castro at the plate. But always interesting to me, the Buster Posey rule, and how it was ruled first, and now it's ruled now. He clearly blocked the plate right there, but apparently nobody cares at this point. So, still 2-0 here down in Atlanta for the red-hot, scorching Atlanta Braves. Another team that we're going to talk about in a little bit that's been scorching hot. San Francisco Giants picked up a dub yesterday. But let's take a look at some of these pitchers that will be on the mound today in the matchups. Now, I am seeing one here, which I don't quite know if this person is actually going to be on the mound. And it does say Garrett's going to be on the mound. How about this? Braxton Garrett 10 innings pitched minimum over the past 30 days. He's got a 32 xFIP minus and a CRA rating of 175. Now, I'm not actually going to cap that game right now. I just want to take a look at if some of these numbers are actually correct there, because that is off the charts good as a slight favorite for the Marlins, who hammered the Red Sox yesterday. Let's see here. Go Boston batters, Braxton Garrett. Phew, man, he has been that good? Is that correct? 314 batters on the season, 106. Look at that strut. My goodness. Like, you know what? Sometimes, you know, I'm such an RBI locked-in situation where it's team totals, where you have a good pitcher, where I sort of fade out on that game. But Braxton Garrett, I just want to take a moment here. He's faced 106 batters over the past 30 days. His K percentage is 40%. He's a left-handed pitcher. To left-handed batters, 43%. To right-handed batters, 40%. That's why it's a ridiculous total there. My goodness, Braxton Garrett. One of the, I don't think I've seen an xFIP of a 32 yet pop up on day-to-day projections here. That is impressive. Blake Snell, usually you'd be ringing the bell for him right now. He's at a 43. A 43. You got Garrett and, my goodness, Braxton Garrett and Blake Snell. My God. And by the way, for Blake Snell, you guys know how I really don't like to use ERA. This guy, 0.29 as a starting pitcher. A Sierra of 2.15. An xFIP of 1.82. That's not fair, what Blake Snell is doing right now. Trevor Richards will be on the mound here tonight, at least to open, it looks like, for the Toronto Blue Jays. Let me take a look at some Major League Baseball starting lineups today to see if we do have any other openers that we might have to worry about. Because usually early in the day, a lot of the times, we might get the opener, but not officially who's going to be behind him or how long. It just says Trevor Richards, so I don't know if he's going to be stretched out enough to pitch a long time in this game, going up against Logan Webb, but he's got good numbers. Zach Eflin has been sensational this season for Tampa Bay. Even over the past 30 days, a 69 xFIP minus. Zach Eflin, doing the work for Tampa Bay. Got a good game down there, too, in Arizona. How about yesterday? If you thought it was going to be a good pitching matchup, Taj Bradley on the mound, the young fireballer there for the Tampa Bay Rays, going up against Zach Allen, maybe one of my favorite pitchers in the National League. 9 runs were on the board by the end of the second inning. 5-4. I mean, that was incredible for a start to that game. Aaron Nola, an 84 xFIP minus. Had a nice start last time out. He's going to take on the Chicago Cubs today. Somewhere to look. Mitch Keller, the Pittsburgh Pirates, 92, not bad. Kodai Senga will be on the mound for the New York Mets, which we're going to talk to in the next segment here, after I get done with these pitchers, of what might take place here tonight in Queens at Citi Field. Interesting doings here. Lucas Giolito, right around average at a 98. Kyle Gibson of the Baltimore Orioles, who I do think we're going to get runs tonight. He's at an even 100, despite his ERA being at a 5.54. Joey Wentz of the Detroit Tigers, a 108. If we scroll down and get a little bit deeper here, Logan Gilbert of Seattle, who I like, but he's really been struggling, particularly over the past month in Major League Baseball, a 122 xFIP minus number and an ERA of 5.13. Luke Weaver, who's really struggling, a 123 xFIP minus number. Look at his ERA over the past 30 days. Close to a 10, devastatingly bad xFIP number of over 5, and a 5.39 Sierra number. Luke Weaver is going to get rocked, so keep that name in the back of your head. Domingo Herman for the New York Yankees. Ooh, a 123 xFIP minus, and his ERA, go play a slot machine in Atlantic City. It's a 7.77. Terrible. 5.18 xFIP number for him. We'll see how Herman holds up. Jaime Barria, this is another interesting one here, right? Because most people will look at the ERA. Donnie, very good. Look at that, 2.95. That's awesome. Let's back him. A 126 xFIP minus number, an xFIP of over 5, and a Sierra of over 5. Disastrous. Patrick Corbin. Remember all those good vibes and feelings? Like, hey, maybe Patrick Corbin found himself now. He's back to being the Patrick Corbin of the past 2 years. A 128 xFIP minus an ERA of over 6 for the past month. Disastrous xFIP and Sierra numbers. And as I told you, a guy that we want to fade tonight, it's Drew Smyly of the Chicago Cubs. A 134 XFIP minus over the past month and a 5.80 XFIP and a Sierra of 5.83. The worst pitcher on the card today by an absolute mile is Christian Javier. A 157 XFIP minus, an XFIP of close to 6.75, the worst by far on the card as well, and a Sierra rating of 6.44. Now that's somebody you want to take a look at tonight as almost a leap of faith. Even if you don't like what's going on with the Cardinals, who, by the way, don't look now, have won 6 of 8 games. Cardinals are a slight favorite, even if those numbers don't really add up for Javier. 122 ISO to lefties, 115 ISO to righties over the past month. You say, well, I don't understand. He's not a strikeout pitcher here. He's just not. Ground ball pitcher, he's not. Which means that ball could be in the air. How about a hard hit percentage over the past 30 days from lefties at 34%? That's actually really good. But how about righties? 50% hard hit rate. My goodness, we might have to take a look at those St. Louis Cardinals. Coming back after the break, I told you we're going to talk about the Mets. More from an ownership level. What's going on at Citi Field tonight? There is a press conference. What could happen? Come on back and find out some theories here. It's Donnie Wright's out on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Right back at it here on a Wednesday afternoon on the grid. Just popped open here, La Colombe Coffee, a little double latte. Get the juices flowing in the afternoon because we got some business to handle in Major League Baseball. Now let's go over a couple quick hot topics here. Number one, just tease before the break. What's going on up in New York? Somebody tell me. Owner of the New York Mets, Steve Cohen. You know what he's doing today? Press conference before the game. So, ooh, that's interesting. Is he selling the team? Is he just angry? Is he firing people? What is he going to do? We don't know. Now, the quote from him on his tweet is, and I'll read it, Cohen declared that fans will, quote, get it from me straight, end quote. So what does that actually mean? That we know the Mets. You want to talk about disappointments? Doesn't get any bigger than the New York Mets this year. That payroll, a record payroll, severely underperforming. Like, what are you getting for your payroll? Not really much, to be honest. Verlander, Scherzer, monster-paid pitchers, not getting everything you're supposed to get out of them. You have one of the highest-paid closers in baseball who tore his knee in a meaningless World Baseball Classic. Couple $100 million player in Francisco Lindor hasn't lived up to it one iota. Pete Alonso seemingly not being able to get out of his own way right now at the plate. That team is way too talented to have a record that they do have now. But it is kind of interesting because yesterday, it wasn't today, like Steve Cohen didn't come out this morning and say, hey, by the way, we're going to broadcast live on whatever SNY or whatever Mets Network is, and we're going to come on and, you know, just be there for the press conference. Can't let you know what it is. Like, oh, man, I wonder what they're doing. They're going to buy a player out. They're going to be making a move. They're going to send players down. They're going to fire Buck Showalter. They're going to fire their general manager. I don't think any of that's going to happen. So he says, get it from me straight. What is he going to say today before this game? Now, granted, the Mets played a game last night when it was announced that Steve Cohen was already going to say, hey, our press conference tomorrow. They played well last night. Drew Peterson was on the mound. Where did that come from? Horrendous to start the season. Bad at Triple A. Comes up and dominates. Well, I guess the Brewers are the equivalent, to be honest with you, at the plate of a Double A AA or Triple A team. Not too much oomph in that. The game before, no thank you to the New York Mets, losing 2-1 to the Brewers. Lindor got his RBI. Couldn't cash in my same game parlay, which I do have another one today that is based and centered out of Baltimore, but that's neither here nor there. Is Cohen just going to take the mic and say, yeah, I am really unhappy with what's going on? Is that what we get tonight? I mean, honestly, if the press conference was called this morning for tonight, I'd say, wow, we might be getting something really, really interesting. But is he just going to talk to the press? And what's he going to say? I have more money than everybody else. I'll buy four more players at the deadline. Don't you worry, fan base. Is that what he's going to say? Because outside of him firing somebody, I don't know what he is supposed to say at this point here. I don't. So that should be interesting. It'll be covered by the media. Maybe much ado about nothing at this point. And we'll see what happens. All right. Keep it in Major League Baseball for a second. Did you guys see what Shohei Ohtani did last night? Yeah, he cracked a fingernail. Why? Because he threw 10 strikeouts. At the plate, he hit two home runs. The best player in baseball by such a wide margin that it hurts. His negotiations, will he stay in Los Angeles? But quite frankly, I brought this up to Joe Ranieri. It's sort of like a joke. Is he too expensive now for other Major League Baseball teams to go after? Let's just say you say to yourself, all right, trade deadline's coming up. The Angels fall back. They don't think it's going to work out. Or Ohtani sends the signal to the Angels management, hey, look, I'm not signing. So if you want to just have me for the rest of the remaining parts of the year, that's all fine and good. But if you want to trade me because I'm not coming back here under any circumstance, maybe they would do that. But what is the price point that you're paying for another franchise right now for Shohei Ohtani? Where does the prospect list start for your ball club? How many prospects do you have to give up? Because sometimes we talk about great baseball players, and then there's transcendent baseball players. Like a guy like Mike Trout, let's just say 2 or 3 years ago, if he was on the trade block, what that would actually be. But for Shohei Ohtani, it might be an all-time record. You're talking about a global icon slash superstar who's at the top of his game on the mound and in the batter's box. I don't even know where it starts. But the reason I say that, well, how could it be too expensive for another team? Think about that, right? Let's just say it's not the Angels and he doesn't re-sign and he does get traded. So think about it for a moment. If you're an organization and if his agent is smart, he's not signing a long-term deal without letting everybody get in on the open bidding process. Now, granted, again, there won't be a ton of people in on that process. Like, come on, Pittsburgh Pirates aren't bidding on Shohei Ohtani, nor would he want to go there. He's probably going to stay on one of the coasts and probably on the left coast out there in California. But if you're talking about like five of your best prospects in your organization, maybe a starting player or two coming back as well, then you're going to pay him upwards of a contract of $500 million. It's going to be a record-setting contract. It's going to be no bigger contract ever negotiated in Major League Baseball than what Shohei Ohtani is going to get. So you're going to gut your entire franchise and then pay him more money than anybody's ever been paid and then try to build a roster around him. It's almost like it only makes sense for Shohei Ohtani here to stay in Los Angeles. It just really does. I think that's the way it is. By the way, we'll find out. And there hasn't been any murmurs here, right? Based on coming back where he wants to be moved. He doesn't want to be moved. You know, he wants to be a part of the building process. Maybe it's a rebuild. Like we're talking about like Dame, right? Dame Lillard up in Portland. Stop it. But Shohei Ohtani just might be best in L.A. because no other team should actually try to go out and sign him. Donnie, what are you, crazy? He's one of the best players in baseball. Why wouldn't you want to go sign him? Because of what I just told you. Five prospects, couple major leaguers, and then pay him over $500 million on a contract? Good luck with that, trying to build the team long term. Yeah, Shohei's great, but even how great he is, the Angels are just a middling team. And if you're going to gut another franchise, like where would he, honestly, who would afford him? It'd probably be Steve Cohen. Like maybe Steve Cohen's coming out tonight here, right? Out in front of Citi Field by the Tom Seaver statue. I just want to let you guys know I'm unhappy with what's going on. I've contacted the Angels. I told Ohtani I paid him a $1 billion contract. Nobody else is going to compete with that. And he'll be traded, and that's the way it's going to be. I mean, honestly, outside of that franchise, who's going to want to get after it? Who's going to want to bankrupt their franchise for a great baseball player? Now, when I say that, Ohtani's got a lot of value. the amount of ads, the amount of eyeballs that you get just by having Shohei Ohtani on your team, that's pretty lucrative in itself. But we'll leave that there because we got a lot of baseball to talk about today, but also wanted to clear some of these hot topics out, no doubt about it. How about this one? Philadelphia 76ers fan, which I am. Tobias Harris speaks out. Now, Tobias Harris, off the court, invested some money in Crumbl Cookies. I don't know if it's nationwide. I believe it probably is. But I know it's big in our area. My area being the tri-state area. New York, Pennsylvania, New Jersey. And I know every couple Saturdays, the wife and the kid out there on the move to try to get some Crumbl Cookies. They're actually really good. I'm not a cookie guy, to be honest. I mean, I have a sweet tooth, just not a cookie guy. Same way I don't really get down with chocolate. Like chocolate ice cream, get out of here. Worst treat of all time. Anybody out here who's like, hey, man, I got to get myself some chocolate? Shut your mouth. Forget about chocolate. Strawberry ice cream, come on now. Absolutely. Vanilla, best in the world. Vanilla in it. Vanilla soft serve in a waffle cone with Rainbow Jimmies. Give me it. All day long. All day long we're eating that. Straight up. So, getting back to Tobias Harris before that food just sidetracked me right there. A little bit of a higher opinion than what the casual, as he said, Sixers fan would trade him for a Crumbl Cookie. He's right. It doesn't take casual fans. It's in-clue fans, in-tune fans that generally laugh at Tobias Harris. Now, this goes back also in Philadelphia 76ers lore. If you want to tell me, like, this guy's a good basketball player, but if you want to go on the pantheon of worst Sixer players of all time for me, do you know who's number one on that list? It's Andre Iguodala. The worst. Because he thought he was Michael Jordan for the Philadelphia 76ers. Thought he should get paid like Michael Jordan. But played like Michael B. Jordan out there. Not Michael Real Jordan of the NBA. And always stuck in my crawl. Now, Tobias Harris. Again, sometimes it's not their fault. If you told me today, hey, Donnie, Tobias Harris has a 5-year contract for a total of $50 million, which means he's making $10 million a year, he'd say, yeah, you know what? Good old Toby there, giving his all out in that court, man. Skills might be just limited at this point, right? But Tobias Harris is basically a max contract player for the Philadelphia 76ers. Ask Sixers fans, both casual and in tune, what they think of Tobias Harris. They'll tell you, hey, man, can shoot the three, play a little D, can be in your starting lineup, but can't be making close to max money. Do you see? That's the issue. Tobias and your pop, yeah, you got away, ski mask way. Ransom note right there you left for the Sixers and got it paid off. He's got a monster contract. That's why we're angry at the guy. Not because he's not a good basketball player, he is. But if you're going to make max money, you better be a great basketball player, which he's not. Big baseball card. Starting it up next. Let's go.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's the Sports Grid Radio Network.
Not a lot of runs today so far in the Braves game, but still a little ways to go. Bottom of the fifth inning, so congratulations. If you had the Braves first five innings, that is a winner. 2-0 here. The Twins only with three hits. They did threaten a little bit here, but weren't able to punch any across the plate. We'll see if the Braves do. If you look at a live total in that game, 6.5 and a minus 1,200 price here on the money line if you take the Atlanta Braves. You want that dog price on the Twins. You can get a plus 680 as the leadoff batter is now on base here for the Atlanta Braves. And now Ronald Acuna Jr. steps up. Man, Michael Harris the second, a guy that was really struggling, like sophomore slump, has turned that corner, man. He is a good young baseball player. And it's almost like you have that double leadoff batter. Like, he's got some speed, athletic ability, a little power. They put him in that nine hole, so he gets on. Now you got Ronald Acuna Jr. coming up, Ozzie Albies, and right into the thickness of that roster. Let's just see what happens here with Ronald Acuna, but it looks like a stolen base here for Harris. So now you got runners in scoring position, as have we seen here on the FanDuel Sportsbook, now up to a minus 1450 as a price. Still that total sitting at 6.5. Maybe the Braves can do certainly a little bit more damage. But Major League Baseball today, it's got a really good card. Now, just to take a quick peek back at last night on some things that I thought might have been different. Thought right on, thought wrong on, right? Yesterday, the Reds, 3-1 victory over the Orioles. I thought that game would stay under. It did. It's not going to stay under today. It's not going to. And I'm going to tell you why in just a few moments here. The Pirates and the Padres, the interesting part about that yesterday was a favorite for the Padres. They scratched their starting pitcher, Yu Darvish, who's going to be on the mound today. They got hammered. Like, I had yesterday not Soto. I wish I did, because he got a base hit and a RBI. I had Manny Machado and Fernando Tatis Jr. Neither one of those guys were able to cash in that game, but they got hammered. Like, the Padres need to also wake up, 37-42 on the season. The Marlins in a game where I really didn't like all that much from the pitching matchup perspective, but how about the Marlins, 19 hits yesterday. It was a nice day in Boston for offense. Wind blowing out over the Green Monster, you know, some warmer conditions. That worked out well. The Mets, how about this one yesterday? Peterson is a terrible pitcher. He was dominant yesterday against the Brewers. Two runs total, the Brewers got over seven hits through those nine innings. The Mets, seven runs, nine hits, which, of course, Francisco Lindor once again got some RBI, and also the Mets won the game. Should have had my same game parlay a day later than it actually was here. Cardinals, 4-2 in one of those head-scratching lines. Not to say the Astros have a good lineup, because they don't. They're injured, and they're bad right now. But Framber Valdez is a dominant pitcher on the mound. He lost his sixth game with an ERA of an under 2.5. Think about that. That just tells you the offense just isn't there yet for the Astros. And the Cardinals pick up a win, now winners of 6 of 8 games. We'll see if they can start that slow map, because they got a bad division they're playing in. It's not as if they're chasing down the Tampa Bay Rays to try to take over first place. That's just not the case. So that's something to keep an eye on. Rangers iced the Tigers 8-3 yesterday. The Philadelphia Phillies 5-1 over the Cubs. And again, in that game, targeted left-handed batters. Should have targeted the correct one, which was Marsh, who went nuts in that game. By the way, a walk here for Ronald Acuna Jr. with a great at-bat coming back from being down in the count. Now Ozzie Albee is going to get his chance with two runners on and nobody out right now. We might be looking at a big inning for the Atlanta Braves with the heart of that order coming up here. How about the Dodgers and the Rockies yesterday? Clayton Kershaw takes a no-hitter into the sixth inning in Colorado. The Rockies only muster three total hits in that game. Atrocious. But also, I thought the Dodgers would do some hitting in this game. They did. They got five runs. But keep in mind yesterday, most of the time, five runs is probably going to cash a ticket for you in the team total market. The Dodgers were 7.5. Now, it was slight plus money at FanDuel. We needed eight runs to cash that. They got nowhere close. J.D. Martinez was huge. I also had in that game Mookie Betts and coupled him, or should I say doubled down with him in a parlay, same game parlay, with Freddie Freeman, both to get RBIs. Neither one of them got one. So I didn't feel all that bad overall, because I did parlay as opposed to take them both individually. The Angels yesterday, just talked about Otani, first pitcher in the AL in 60 years to homer twice and strike out 10. I mean, he's doing stuff that most generations have not seen. I'm 45 years old. I didn't see anybody hit two home runs and throw 10 innings out there. I didn't see any of that stuff. By the way, maybe a crisis averted here for the Minnesota Twins. Kenta Maeda throws a double play ball here. So now two outs and a man on third with Austin Riley coming up. So if you were an overbacker, you were perking up at that point. But now probably going to sit a little bit back down in case Austin Riley. Hey, he's 0-2 in the day. Maybe he's due to hit a long ball. Diamondbacks Rays, I thought a game that probably had a good chance to stay under. But the talented Diamondbacks went 8-4 over the Rays last night. Now but into 11 innings. Nationals bashed their way to a victory. And if you haven't heard of him yet, you hear it on this show. Lane Thomas, 2-5 yesterday, 2 RBI, a walk, batting .299 on the season now. He leads off for the Nationals. He's like a one-man wrecking crew. Now, the other guy you might see me talk about sometimes is Jamer Candelario. He's been decent also. Yesterday, he went 2-5 also, pitched in with an RBI. But by the way, bottom of the 10th inning, bases juice, nobody out, down 3 runs for the Mariners. They didn't score at all. Now, you didn't need it because if you already had the total, you cashed in that one already in that top of the inning. But having said that, That's a tough one to swallow, man. You come right back on the ropes here, see what we can do. I do think there's a legitimate chance like that. The Mariners, for me, it's been a while, might have a few guys we might sort of run up the flagpole here on a team total. Phone lines open, 844-843-6879. Radio on the Grid, you know how we do it on a Wednesday afternoon. A lot of it's going to be Major League Baseball, which we can get into next. 4:10 p.m. is the next game on the docket. That is the Seattle Mariners and the Washington Nationals. Let's check into this game. Let me see if I have official lineups. And we do, so we can go over and maybe play some early action. I got a couple wagers already in. I'm looking to add on. Again, very disappointed in last night's effort. Ended up losing some dollars because my guys weren't getting RBI. And you can't win every single night. You just hope that, you know, some of those things can work out in your favor. By the way, Austin Riley hit a rocket to the center field wall, which was caught. No runs for the Atlanta Braves when they started that inning off with back-to-back guys on base in the middle of that order. So maybe the Minnesota Twins can have a bounce back here and get back into this ballgame. Let's take a look at the Mariners here first. All right. Washington batters going up against Logan Gilbert. If we go right back to our handy-dandy Fangraphs chart here and take a look at the two pitchers in this game. Patrick Corbin, not a good pitcher, particularly over the past 30 days. A 128 xFIP minus, a high ERA, high Sierra number, and a high xFIP. Logan Gilbert, a 122 xFIP minus number, a high ERA, a high xFIP, and a high Sierra. You see where we're going with this one? Most of the time, you don't like to take Seattle games because, number one, the Seattle lineup leaves a lot to be desired. And quite frankly, so does the Washington Nationals. But it's a true pitcher's ballpark. But let's line up Logan Gilbert, who, again, on the season, he doesn't have bad statistics. He really doesn't. He's a talented young pitcher. If you look at his 346 at-bats on the season, ISO of 161, that's good. Weighted on base percentage, 278. That's really good. So, okay, I really don't want to fade him. But take a look at the last 30 days. 113 combined batters. That 161 ISO, people, turns into a 262. Weighted on base percentage of 278, that turns into a 348. Right-handed batters getting the best of them. A 271 ISO power number and a weighted on base percentage of 367. You know who that fits right into? Lane Thomas. Out of the leadoff hole, 71 at-bats he's had against right-handed pitching over the past month, a 231 ISO, and a 346 weighted on base percentage. You know who else factors nice? Yeah, same guy we just talked about. Jamer Candelario, 305 ISO, 415 weighted on base percentage here. So there are some guys that might be able to do some damage. Decent batters, Kybert Ruiz in the four-hole, Dominic Smith in the five-hole. But Logan Gilbert has struggled. RBI chances probably right there. Lane Thomas and Jamer Candelario, I think, might be legitimate. Haven't bet them yet, but right on the tip of my tongue right now as we're going over this game. Let's flip it over to Seattle and how they might do some damage against Patrick Corbin, who's been bad, particularly over the past 30 days. Left-handed batters even. He's faced 25. They got a weighted on base percentage against him at 401. But let's take a look where it's really going to matter today. The only lefty in the lineup is going to be J.P. Crawford. He actually has decent statistics against left-handed pitchers over the past month. But I don't want to focus on him. Why? I want to focus on right-handed batters. ISO power number, 215 against Corbin. His strikeout percentage against right-handed batters, only 14%. It's not striking anybody out. But look at this, too. Weighted on base percentage, a 432. So right-handed batters are cracking him over the head. Julio Rodriguez, 345, weighted on base percentage. Ty France, 552. Teoscar Hernandez, 454. Eugenio Suarez, 380. Tom Murphy, 401. Dylan Moore, 349. Now, there are a lot of strikeouts in that lineup here against left-handed pitching over the past 30 days. However, if we look at the elevated guys, right? Julio Rodriguez, Ty France, Teoscar Hernandez, Eugenio Suarez, Tom Murphy, Dylan Moore, and Jose Caballero. The good part is, Corbin doesn't strike anybody out. So what gives today? Now, granted, when you're taking Seattle and you're saying, okay, I think they can get their team total, or I think they're going to get RBI, it is very frustrating that they strike out so much. Because a runner on third base, less than two outs, you know the drill. Put the ball in play, score a run, keep it moving. Keep those positive outs happening. Because nothing positive ever happens from a strikeout. Unless you steal second base and the ball goes over somebody's head and you take third base and there's only one out. But outside of that, it really doesn't happen. But I got to tell you, there are some good shots here. The first, six guys in the lineup today for the Seattle Mariners. Look at those weighted on-base percentages. 358, 345, 552, 454, 380, and 401. That's really doing the job. And I don't think Corbin's going to be able to slow anybody down out there at this point. Let me just take a look, too, because I just told you the statistics here for Corbin. Let's maybe go into a little bit of a deeper dive. I have about 2 or 3 minutes here left in this segment. Let's see what Patrick Corbin has to offer. My goodness, man, there's way too many Major League Baseball players here getting me confused. There's too many Corbins out here in these streets. All right, so if we take a look, let's look at his splits. Forget about his game log, how many runs he's given up and all that stuff. Against right-handed batters in 2023, keep in mind again, Corbin's a left-handed pitcher. Weighted on base percentage against righties at 371. That's terrible. Now also, sometimes you like to take a look at these breakdowns, right? Home for Corbin, 330 weighted on base percentage, manageable. On the road, 396. Now let's take a look, too, at the splits on the road here. Lefties at 349. He's only going to face one, so who cares about that, right? But how about the right-handed batters on the road? 149 batters he's faced on the road this year, a 406 weighted on base percentage. Also, when you're taking a look at just the month of June by itself, 106 total batters he's faced, a 412 weighted on base percentage. That's combined between lefties and righties. Let's go down a little bit more here. XFIP numbers, terrible on both sides, by the way. Lefties a 508, righties a 452. It's actually more manageable against righties. But let's once again go over the statistics. Look at his home numbers, people. If we look at the XFIP number at home to lefties, a 409, not bad. To righties, a 427, not terrible. But look at what happens when he gets on the road here. To left-handed batters, which again, doesn't really matter too much. Only one is going to be in the lineup at the leadoff position. That's a 631. 486 on the road. It's all elevated here for him. And also his XFIP in total, March and April, 450. May, 442. How about June? 512. He's due to get lit today. We might see some runs up in Seattle. How about that? Quick segment to end hour number one. Let's get after it and find out where JP's going. Come on back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Little G-Eazy right there on a Wednesday afternoon right here on the grid. The perfect way to end hour number one. Your phone call is in hour number two. You know, it's wide open. 844-843-6879. You got a hot play tonight. Turn it on. You want to yell at me because yesterday I didn't win any money. I get it. Respect it. Absolutely, I do. But let's find out where JP is going tonight. And first, by starting off with, JP, where did we go last night? What did we do?
Took the Reds on the money line last night.
Oh, man, that's a nice move right there. Big-time win. Abbott, as you called it yesterday, good young pitcher. He's now 4-0 in Major League Baseball, so other teams haven't caught up to him yet. That second trip around the league that gets some of these young pitchers in trouble. He was dealing last night, looked good. So today, we got a game starting up again at 4:10 p.m., but mainly that late card. Full 15-game schedule today, 14. We haven't had first pitch just yet. So are we going to go with a game here, 7:45 or earlier, or 8:05 or later tonight?
Well, I'm going with an RBI prop, so you tell me how specific you want to get.
Ooh, I like that. Yeah, so what game are we you know what? Yeah, what game are we going with? How about that?
We're going to the Phillies and the Cubs here.
All right, I love it already, because for me, put out some action, said, you know what? I think I'm going back to the Phillies well. So if we're looking at that game for JP, Philadelphia and Chicago, it's Nolan Smiley. Smiley stinks. He's a really bad pitcher. He really is. Yesterday, I did strike out, technically, with RBI props. One of those guys, I thought I had a pretty good matchup yesterday with Bryson Stott. Didn't work out in my favor yesterday. Jameson Taillon, he was still bad. What did he go, 5 innings, 5 earned runs? Can't do that. It's a terrible start. I just didn't cash in on that. The Phillies are a favorite today. At FanDuel, up from 116 to minus 136. A total of 8. Wind is blowing in, but I don't think JP is going to be going from a Chicago Cubs perspective today, looking for his RBI up against Nola. Finally, Nola had a very good start. Didn't win the game for the Phillies because the Phillies stunk at the plate that game, but he did throw a shutout. What are you, 6 innings, I believe? Nice little shutout. We'll see if he can put back-to-back performances, but JP is going with the Phillies-Cubs game and an RBI prop. It's got to be from a Phillies perspective. And there are some really good players there that we can count on. Hour number two coming up next. Make sure you keep it right here on the Sports Grid Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.